Again, I want to thank everyone who contributed over the past couple of days and contributes other times as well to support Air Talk on KPCC. We had just a wonderful turnout over the past 2 days supporting the program and generally supporting all of KPCC. We heard from 4,400 members in the past 2 days, raising $425,000, exceeding our 2-day goal. That's thanks to your generosity, and we deeply appreciate it. We're talking about the latest in COVID-19 with UC Davis Children's Hospital Professor Dean Blumberg. He's Professor of Medicine, Chief of Pediatric Infectious Disease. Dr. Blumberg, your thoughts on what we just heard from Dr. Fauci at the White House Task Force News Conference.
I think it was great that he mentioned that we are all part of one community, that we're all interconnected in the U.S., and I think that also illustrates the stunning lack of federal leadership that we've come to expect in this situation from the CDC, which has really been on the sidelines, and the career professionals who looked influenza H1N1 and Ebola and Zika, they went right up to it, looked it in the eye, and took care of us and gave us the best specific public health advice that kept all of us safe. We haven't heard from them during this pandemic. So it's really, you know, it's in contrast to that, although I agree with him. And when he talks about the interconnectedness in the world, how does it make sense then for the U.S. to pull out of the World Health Organization? This is why right now when we really need to be cooperating with all these other countries at the highest level, because an outbreak anywhere in the world makes us more vulnerable.
Dr. Blumberg, we have some listener questions. Old Roger writes on Facebook, consider that those of us older folks are safe at home and not requesting tests. This would explain higher positives among the younger adventurous folks. What do you think, Dr. Blumberg? Does that make sense to you? Is that part of what we're seeing?
Yeah. I don't want to give I'm part of that older folks group. So let's give us all a pat on the back here and say us older and wiser older folks who are feeling more vulnerable, maybe we are doing a better job of protecting ourselves. And yet, you know, when everybody is out and about, when young people who are feeling invulnerable are out and about, as Dr. Fauci mentioned, that does place everybody at risk because it is an infection. And even people who are trying to protect themselves still do go out and get groceries and interact with others.
All right. Allison from Santa Monica says, although there are so many cases among younger people, seems like there's a blame narrative being placed on them. They're being scapegoated. But the fact is the government opened things up so people would go. So isn't the responsibility really on government for how they're choosing to reopen? Well, the only thing, Dr. Blumberg, interested your thoughts, but I thought in reopening that the government did mandate, in most places, mask usage and social distancing, which has been sporadically adhered to. But wait, do you think government was wrong for reopening?
Well, I think, you know, you mentioned earlier about how Florida and Texas have restricted bars. And so, you know, if you have people who are crowding around a bar to try to get a drink and they're not wearing masks because they are drinking, so you can't do that with a mask on, you know, that's going to be a perfect situation being indoors and all for transmission. So I think it might have seemed like a good idea at the time. But, yeah, I think you need to be open to then putting these restrictions back in place. Maybe bars can be open but only with table service and not bar service, and that can limit. So, yes, I think there's a huge role for government guidance in this situation. And I wouldn't put all the blame on young people, but I would say that I'm hopeful if young people or anybody who's out and about and taking advantage of going to a bar or restaurant, please wear your mask. They protect others, and they protect you also.
Also joining us is the dean of the California School of Forensic Studies at Alliant International University. She is a forensic psychologist who works in crisis response. Her research interests include disaster, mental health, and risk assessment. Diana Concannon, thank you very much for being with us today on Air Talk.
Thank you for having me.
Dean Concannon, I want to ask you about sort of the psychological part of this, because for people feeling all cooped up, now starting to go out in the world, maybe getting together with friends or extended family members, If we see a significant increase in the number of COVID cases, even above what we're seeing now, can the genie go back in the bottle, so to speak? Are people going to naturally start limiting their social interactions? Or is that not really psychologically possible for people to do?
Well, I think that we are, to a certain extent, seeing a certain fatigue, a psychological fatigue, if you will, in our communities, that the profound and long-lasting effects of this are taking a toll. And one of the things that is so incredible about us as humans is that we tend to be adaptable, and we need to tap into that. We need to realize that this is not going to be a short-term event, and we are going to consistently need to be vigilant and to engage in safe and harm-reducing behaviors for ourselves and for those around us in order to get through this together and well, so that we can enjoy and engage in activities that are meaningful to us. We may have to do so differently, but we will find ways to do so.
We're talking with the Dean of Alliant International University's California School of Forensic Studies, Diana Concannon. Dean Concannon, also wonder about messaging by public health authorities, because I think part of what we're seeing in some people's resistance to wear masks or to distance is a pushback, a feeling of being controlled by government. So is there a way to come up with public health messaging that doesn't trigger that kind of a response?
I think there is always a challenge in that we saw this even after events like 9/11, for example, when there was an attenuation of the balance between personal liberty and public safety. And there's always a little bit of pushback that we see. During that time, it was when we installed cameras in locations where previously there were none. And for many, that felt like an intrusion. Masks for some now feel likewise, like an intrusion on personal liberty. And I think it's critically important that we recognize that the masks, you know, as Dr. Blumberg said, protect each other, they protect ourselves. And we have to be unequivocal in that messaging, that we have a responsibility and obligation as citizens to engage in behaviors that are safe, that are going to keep us physically safe, that are going to allow us to reopen our economy so that we keep our nation safe and so that we keep our global society safe as well.
Diana Concannon, Dean of Alliant International University's California School of Forensic Studies. We just heard from Dr. Anthony Fauci, who in the White House Task Force on Coronavirus News Conference, saying this sort of, you haven't seen anything like this with the all the different, for lack of a better term, sort of oddities of this coronavirus. How does that factor into the stress that comes with this? That, you know, people kind of understand how seasonal flus operate. They understand, you know, even over time, we better understood how HIV infection occurs. But there's so much of this that we don't know. And Dean Concannon, how does that uncertainty factor in?
It exponentially increases individual stress levels. Uncertainty is something that is very uncomfortable for many people and causes a great deal of anxiety. And it is very important during times such as this to recognize that there is an element of this that is unpredictable. We're seeing it. We're seeing how, in fact, what we thought was going to be the trajectory of the virus is different. We're still in a first wave when we were expecting perhaps there to be a slowdown and then see a second wave. And that uncertainty, that unpredictability can be extremely stressful, can be extremely exhausting, fatiguing. And so what is critically important to our mental health during this time is to tap into that resilience, to firstly recognize that it will take a toll, it will likely take a toll, and to take the mental breaks that we need to connect with those activities and individuals that can help soothe us, can help us to reset, get engaged in exercise, you know, self-care practices, the events and activities that help us to take a break a little bit from the uncertainty. At the same time, keeping current with what is happening particularly with the virus, so that we have adequate information and we have the most current and accurate knowledge to be able to protect ourselves, our families, our communities, is also important. So that balance is very vital to our well-being.
Dean Concannon, thank you for being with us. We appreciate it very much. I know you came out of a meeting to join us. So thank you for taking the time. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Diana Concannon of Alliant International University, forensic psychologist. Dr. Blumberg, you have any thoughts on this, given that in a sense, this is a case where government messaging can actually backfire?
Yeah, I think, you know, I like that Dean Concannon highlighted the mask issue, that people feel that, you know, it's an infringement of their liberty or that they want some control over it. And I understand that, but it's also a basic hygienic measure. So I just don't think you make a political statement. You know, it's not a political statement to wear a mask or not. It's a hygiene issue. It's like saying that washing your hands after going to the bathroom, you're not going to do that because you want your freedom. You know, because it's a political statement. Or you'll go to a party and you'll double dip into the guacamole because you're free to do so. Yeah, you're free to do so, but that's just dumb, and it's not very nice to other people.
But I think the hand-washing directive for general sanitation and cleanliness, everybody understands there's nothing confounding in there. And I think the fact that there has been so much back and forth and changes in the messaging because of the large number of unknowns with COVID-19, that has kind of helped to fuel the suspicion of public health authorities, maybe suspicion too strong a word, but lack of confidence. And I do think that that's factored into people's reaction to directives.
Well, I think that's fair. And the public health messaging has definitely changed over time, but it's changed over time because we've learned new facts and because we have scientific evidence now that not only does wearing a mask decrease transmission to others, but it protects the wearer of the mask is protected from getting infected too. So once we have this new information, I think it's important for people to realize that wearing a mask is the safest for the individual, and it's also safest for the community at large.
Dr. Blumberg, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. We wish you a very good weekend and good health. Thank you for joining us.
Stay safe, Larry.
We appreciate it. Dr. Dean Blumberg, who's professor of medicine, chief of pediatric infectious diseases at UC Davis Children's Hospital, he's on the roster of our medical all-stars that we bring in daily to talk about COVID-19. This is the place for in-depth conversation about the coronavirus, the very latest in our knowledge of the virus, as well as the public health measures to try and contain its spread. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. We're going to look at an independent audit of Los Angeles County's Registrar of Voters. We're going to talk about what happened with our primary back in March and what are some of the recommendations for helping the November general election go more smoothly. We'll talk with our two guests in just 90 seconds.